ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
So, the question. I narrated from the Vishnu Purana. Is it from the Vishnu Purana? I don't think so. I doubt it. And here it said, the conversation of Brahma and Vishnu, in Vishnu Purana, where Vishnu himself is contended to check who is supreme. How it appears that between the three, Shiva seems supreme. But as far as I know, it's from Shiva Purana. Vishnu Purana establishes the supremacy of Vishnu. Shiva Purana establishes the supremacy of Shiva. So I answered this. The answers to all questions are in Bhagavad Gita. All questions means there are many technical details, of course, which are not in there, but all necessary questions for understanding who we are, what we should be doing, and what is the ultimate goal of life. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan, they're all answered in Bhagavad Gita. So they, at least in seed form. So the answer to that I quoted that verse last night, that what is that? Tanam bhakta yajanti shatayan vita yipi anya devata bhakta yajanti shatayan vita tepi mame vakonteya yajanti aviti purvam. No, that's not the right verse. It's a related verse. Lord Krishna says, those who worship other gods with faith, that worship is meant for me, but it's in an improper way. And then the verse, yo yo yang yang tanung bhakta. No, I'm getting mixed up here. Yo yo yang yang tanung bhakta. Yajanti shatayan vita. No, I'm not getting. Tasya tasya achalam shadha. Tameva vidatamyaham. Krishna states that those who worship different gods, I make their faith achala. I make their faith strong. That because it's required for them at that level to be fixed in some level so that they can not fall below that level and come to a higher level. Gradually come to a higher level. The Vedic path may seem confusing because there are so many segments. You see, generally the Vaishnav guru will not narrate such stories from Shastra. The Shaiva guru will narrate such stories. The Vaishnav guru will not narrate how Vishnu and Brahma are defeated by Shiva. There are many statements in Shastra, actually, which we shouldn't relate. Just like this narration it's circulated in ISKCON from Brahma Vaivarta Purana about how Tulasi came to earth, and then it doesn't nourish bhakti. It's in Shastra, but it's not meant for pure devotees. There's nothing there to nourish bhakti. Is translation going on? Yeah, in Telugu it's going on. Yeah. Oh, elderly gentleman, now I can see it. Praying kirtan, I didn't see it in the back. So, different narrations in Shastra, they may not necessarily be to nourish bhakti. Shuddha bhakti. They may nourish faith in other gods, or they may nourish faith in mixed bhakti. Just like it's very popular all over India, in most of India, at least used to be popular, Satyanarayan puja. Now it's not very popular. Now it's more Sai Puja, it's more popular. Satyanarayan Puja is better than that. But the pure devotees, they're not interested in that. And they say, well, it's worship of Narayana. But that's for material benefits. Therefore, pure devotees, they're not interested in that. So the Vaishnava path may seem confusing, but it's meant for the benefit of all its practitioners at various levels. It's not that there's just one level, one shoe size fits all, it doesn't work. If you have a big foot and they give you a small shoe, it doesn't work. If they give you a big shoe, you have a small foot, that also doesn't work. So you have to have the right, what's suitable for you. There are some so-called great religions of the world and they just have one thing for everyone. Just, you have to get bathed in the blood of Jesus, whatever that means. I still don't understand what it means. I've heard it all my life. It sounds something very horrible, actually. Bathed in the blood of Jesus, and then that's it. That's the sambandha abhideya prayojan, that's everything. All finished, all philosophy, the no philosophy. It doesn't even mean anything, but that's their religion, beginning, middle, and end. So, that just caters to a very low level, but the Vedic path that caters to people at all levels. The highest level, or the only actual goal of the Vedas is Vaidaisya Sarveraha Vedyaha. Krishna is the goal of the Vedas. But not everyone has the adhika, the suitability, the eligibility for coming to this level. So, alright, on a lesser level, you can do various things. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna himself speaks of worshipping various demigods in the third chapter, and then later on he condemns them. Or he condemns, or he says it's not on a very high level. Kamaisthaisthai hritagyana prabhadyantena devataha. People who are impelled by material desire, Krishna says. They worship various gods. They are hritagyana. Children should let the children go and play downstairs, somewhere else. There's not a place to play. One Mataji can go and supervise them, they should go play downstairs. Please, who are the parents of these children? Take them downstairs. So those who have hritagyana means nashta buddhi, spoiled intelligence, they worship demigods. Kama, this kama, this material desire, which is already condemned by Krishna. One should overcome kama, Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter. And then later he says that those who are impelled by kama, material desire, they worship various demigods. So he says it's not very good. But then already in the third chapter he says that, well, you should do that. At least one should do that. One should recognize, at least one should recognize the demigods. And then later Krishna says, whatever the demigods are giving, actually it's given by me. So there are various levels. One's not rejected if he's on a lower level. The attempt is to bring people up, even on a lower level. On a lower level means not very developed intelligence. So on a lower level, they may even act against the higher level, or they may condemn the higher level. So we find that often the Shaivas, they condemn the Vaishnavas. They're attached to that path. even then, it's better for them to be a Shaiva than to be a Gnostic. If they're a Shaiva but they're Astic, at least they accept the path of the Vedas. That is better than being a Gnostic or one who does not accept the path of the Vedas. They may be gradually elevated by following that process. That's why Srila Prabhupada on more than one occasion, when he was asked, is it better to be a Christian and believe in one God or to be a worshipper of multiple gods within Hinduism? Once he was asked that question. And on another occasion he was asked a similar question. Is it better to worship Jesus or to worship Kali? The devotee was asking this was stationed in Bengal where Kali Puja is very prominent and there's sacrifice of goats and lots of blood, and that's often associated with tantrism, invoking evil spirits. And in both occasions, Prabhupada said it's better to be worship the demigods or to worship Kali, because at least they're within the Vedic culture. So within Vedic culture, even if there are misconceptions, still they're not too far from the right path. Whereas actually if we see, just like in Christianity, there's so many problems. And it's so misled. Just like they say they believe in one God, but then they said God was killed. God was killed, and for 3 days he was dead. And God was killed? What kind of God is that? And he suffered for your sins. God has to suffer? What is this? This is horrible. God has to suffer? How is this? That by our sins we're making God suffer? Or he has to suffer to clear the sins. That means the sins are greater than him, or material, the laws of material nature, he's also subject to them. But he can't just wash them away. Krishna says, Mame kam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva pape bhyo moksha yasham. If I want, I'll just clear your sins away. He doesn't have to suffer, carry a cross, and get whipped and all this kind of thing. So this idea that God has to suffer to clear our sins means that he's also under the laws of material nature. And there's so many problems. Again, they say this Shaitan, he's a competitor with God, and God's just ahead of him, just slightly ahead of him. It's a tough job, but he's just keeping Satan under control. But actually, Satan comes out on top, because only the few people who get bathed in the blood of Jesus get saved, and everyone else goes to hell forever. So actually, Satan's the winner. So there are so many problems. Of course, Prabhupada, he didn't get into these discussions. He just said, stop killing the cows. He didn't even say, he said, if you want to eat other animals, you're so low class, and all right, you eat the chickens, but at least stop killing the cows. So, the point is that within what is called Hinduism, it's not a very good term, but that's what it's come to be known as. There are various levels. So, Shastra also supports those different levels. But the idea is that one should eventually come to the proper path. That may take a long time. That after going through the worshipping so many gods, well, actually, the Vedic path is centered around yajna, karma. For most people, they're on the level of karma kanda, and they'll perform yajnas either at home. The twice born will daily perform yajnas, and then there'll be grand yajnas from time to time, organized by kings, which engages the whole society. Everyone works sve sve karmanya bhirata sangsithim labhate nara. Everyone by their own work can attain perfection. This happens by Swakamanatam abhyacha siddhim vindati manava. To place on yourself, O Lord. Everyone by their own work and by worshipping Hari, by worshipping Krishna, they can attain perfection. So this works in the Varnashram society where everyone is cooperating for performing yajna. The kings, they collect taxes, they maintain peace in society, they see that everyone's properly engaged, and with their taxes, they organize yajnas. Taxes, as we see, for instance, Nanda Maharaj as a cowherd man, is the king of the cowherds, he brought taxes to Kamsa, he brought milk products, ghee, especially ghee. That which is something which is lasting. So the taxes are not just in terms of money, but in terms of goods also. Yagyas, the brahmanas will perform them, the vaishyas, they will organize economic production, the shudras will help with that, and then everything in the yagya, ghee and grains are offered. So this is an offering of everyone's work to Vishnu through the agency of yajna. And that is performed by people in the Karmakanda for their material uplift, for gaining material boons. By performing karma, one is gradually supposed to come to the platform of jnana, of considering what is the purpose of life. Atato brahma jignyasa. Now one should inquire into the purpose of life, or one should inquire into the spiritual reality. Kasmin vigyate sarvamidam vigyatam bhavati. This is on the jnana platform. This question is asked from the Upanishads, Katha Upanishad. By what is that by knowing which everything else is known? That's a good question, isn't it? Who's asking that question? What is that one thing by knowing which everything else is known? So the reply is that which is unperceivable, that which is not seen, that which is no form, no name, the usual Upanishads, it seems to be very impersonal. That's the point. We don't perceive it. We don't perceive that reality in our present material condition. That reality is Krishna. We don't perceive Him. Therefore He's said to be without form, name, actually everything is there. But with our present senses we don't perceive that reality. We only perceive the names, forms, and activities of this material world. So one has to be elevated to the platform of jnana. But on the platform of jnana, if one takes you're raised to a higher level of seeking beyond this material boons which are offered in the Vedas. What's the actual purpose of life? And then we get this this impersonal, what sounds impersonal. We think, oh, now we've come to a very high level. But then, bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. After many births on the jnana marga, one comes to understand Krishna. We should surrender to Krishna. Anama, arupa, no name, no form, no material name, material form. But he's so many names. He is Anama, he has no name, but then Sahasranam, his thousand names, Asankhyanam, unlimited names. The Mayavadis, they make the mistake of considering the impersonal or indirect description as ultimate. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa Sarvaraham Eva Vedaha. In all the Vedas, I am the object of knowledge. So then the Mayavadi say, you see, well, the Vedas, the Vedantakrit, Krishna is Vedantakrit. He is the compiler of Vedanta. So Vedanta, the Upanishads, they say that, of course not all the Upanishads, but generally the Upanishads, they use these terms. Nirguna, no qualities. So if Krishna is the goal of the Vedas, and the Vedas say that the ultimate has no name, qualities, form, all these things, so Krishna must have no name, qualities, form, etc. But then we see that Krishna, well, that's his name, and he was standing before Arjuna, so form, and qualities, well, he describes his qualities are described in Shastra. So then the Mayavadi or Advaitavadis, they say, well, actually that's not really real. Krishna doesn't have any real name, form, qualities or activities, but it just appears to be like that. But then in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, he rejects that idea that Krishna is simply a manifestation of the unmanifest. He rejects that unequivocally. Avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mama buddhaya. Krishna unequivocally means, you know what that means? Unequivocally, it means clearly, without any, it's very clearly and straightforwardly spoken in a manner that cannot be misinterpreted unless you're really trying hard. Prabhupada uses this term in his Bhagavad Gita as it is commentary. It comes up in English unequivocally. Arjuna says, I'm bewildered by your equivocal words, apparently contradictory words. So Krishna says that those who think that my personality has come from the some unmanifest, they're fools. So the ultimate goal of knowledge is Krishna, and beyond knowledge is also a statement from the Upanishads, raso vaisaha. When we thought about it and meditated upon and spent so many lifetimes trying to work out all about what it is, then we have to steal Krishna's lunchbox at the end of all of that. I was quoting this morning, Prabhupada said, my only desire is to go to Golok Vrindavan and steal Krishna's lunchbox. Again, we quoted this morning, aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam. Nanda gopa vrajo kasam. Yan mitram paramanandam purnam brahma sanatanam. Shukadeva Goswami, who is described in the beginning of, Shukadeva says this verse, he's in the beginning of Bhagavatam, in the second canto, he's described as Atmarama. Parinishtito pinayagunye, he was fixed in the conception of nirgun. Atmarama. Still he took the trouble to study such a great work as the Bhagavatam. Why? Because of Nanda Maharaj and the Vrajavasis. Because they are the most fortunate. Shukadeva Goswami is very fortunate to have no attraction to this material world. Bhagavatam describes the womb as a horrible place, but Shukadeva thought, it may be horrible, but it's better than out there. At least no one disturbs me in here. At least as long as I'm here, no one's going to try and give me any Brahmin threads, or try and get me married, or any such thing. So he came out of the womb, eventually, he stayed in, and then Vyasadeva, he thought, Vyasadeva, he's just in Maya. He's another householder. They're all in Maya. So Vyasadeva asked him to come out. His father didn't want to come out. And Krishna requested him. So Shukadeva didn't think, Krishna's in Maya. He thought, well, He's married also, but he's different. So he came out, then he left home. He didn't even wait. Vyasadeva said, look, can you just wait? At least I'll give you the Brahmin thread. That's my duty as a father. So forget it, I'm going. He left. At least put on a kopin. No, he's just gone. So he is very fortunate to be so much detached from material attraction. But he thought, how fortunate, ahol bhagyam, he's simply repeatedly extolling all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Gokul, Gokul is Nanda's Gokul, Nanda Gopa Vrajokasam. Yan Mitra, who their friend or the very object of their life is Paramanandam Purna Brahma Sanatanam, that the full of bliss, Rasovai Saha, full of ecstasy, the emporium of all rasas, Akhila Rasamrita Murti, the very form of all bliss, nectar of rasa. So that very person, Purna Brahma Sanatanam, Yang Brahma Varanendra Rudra Marutastun Vanti Divyaistavaya, all the great demigods are praising him. Vedai Sangha Upanishadaya Gayanti Yang Samagaha, all the Vedas, the Upanishads, yes, the Upanishads also, including those which say Anama, Arupa, they praise him. Dhyana avastita tadgatena manasa pashyanti nam yogino. The yogis in their meditation, they meditate upon him. Yasyanta navidu sura sura gana tasmai. What is it? Tasmai namaha. So that person, who is not knowable to the gods or the non-gods, the demons, they cannot estimate his glories, his limits. Devaya tasmai namaha, that to that God who is Krishna we offer our respects. So this Purna Brahma Sanatana, who is the object, the Purna, he is Purna. Om Purna Madaha, see the Upanishads are praising him. Om Purna Madaha, Purnamidam, Purna, Purna Udachate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnamevava Shishyate. The Advaitavadis think of an impersonal Purna, but that Purna, full, complete, perfect, is Krishna. Everything is within Krishna. If everything is taken away from Krishna, still he is full and complete. He expands himself in millions of ways. Still, he's not depleted. It's not like he creates the world in 6 days and then he's exhausted, so he has to take some rest and eat some laddus and get some strength. But he's full, complete. Om Purnam Adha. Even if everything is apparently removed from him, still he remains complete. So Purna Brahma Sanatanam, this full truth who is meditated upon by the yogis, who is praised by all the demigods, who is sung about in all the Vedas, that person has become the family member of Nanda Maharaj and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So this is the ultimate. Beyond this, kasmin vigyatam sarvamidam vigyatam bhavati. What is that one subject? What is it that is to be known by which everything else is known? Well, the general description is given of the absolute truth. That can be answered at various levels. There's the general understanding of the Supreme, then more specific, that's Brahman, then more specific, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Vishnu, the Supreme, then more specific, Krishna. And then Krishna in Vrindavan, Rasovaisaha. What is there to be known by knowing which there is nothing else to be known? What is there to be known? Krishna is going out to dance at night. Go, quick. Gopis, dress up. No time for dressing. Okay, just go. They know Krishna. They don't know anything else. They don't need to know anything. They have no interest or to know anything else. So that is the answer. That is the ultimate answer. But if we say, if we discuss the Upanishads with the gopis, what are they going to say? What do they know about Upanishads? They're churning the butter and singing the glories of Krishna, which is more pleasing to Krishna than the sounds of the Upanishads. So the Vedic knowledge that ultimately has to come to this point. What is there by knowing which everything, then nothing else remains to be known? Well, another answer is that, to that is you cannot know. Only Krishna can know. Only Krishna can know everything. We cannot know everything. But simply this much we should know, that I am the servant of Krishna. Krishna is supreme, I should serve him. That's all. If we know that, that is enough for us. We're tiny little jivas. How much can we know? Sending rockets into space and investigating. How many billions of euros did they spend for making some tunnel in Switzerland? And they were supposed to find out, they were splitting the atom or something, I don't know. Trying to find out how the universe began. We never found out what they did. We just learned that they took several billion, hundred billions of dollars from the taxpayers. Then after that, didn't hear anything else. There are so many swindles going on. There are so many things. We don't know what's going on. What's actually going on in the governments of the world, how they're swindling people and cheating people, and all their elaborate plans for exploiting people. We don't know. We can try to find out, and still they'll do it. They're very smart people. They're more expert at it than all the other people. They're all cheating in various ways. So, but if we know that, well, what's the value? Because still you have to die and then get the karmic results. Should there be Telangana or not? Well, what difference does it make actually? You still have to die. I mean, there already is Telangana, but should it be a separate state? People are dying for Telangana, committing suicide. I mean, people are stupid anyway. They've just had different ways of expressing it, that's all. So, they're killing themselves. But what happens after death? That's a more important question. People become diverted by various ephemeral issues. Ephemeral means shunik, that is not lasting. So many important things in our lives. Now the big news in India is a movie called, what's it called? I am Shah Rukh Khan or something. My name is Khan. There's so many people called Khan. That's the Pushtuns, they're called Khan, isn't it? His family's up from there. Is it? From Peshawar, that area. So a big, big thing. And then the Shiv Sena want to burn the theatres. So many things are going on. Lord Brahma is looking down, and in his one moment, kshan, we're born, we grow up, We go to college, we get a degree, we earn lots, we get married, we earn lots of money if you're a success. So-called success. You grow old and you're done. And Lord Brahma sneezed in the meantime. Within his sneezing, you know, 20 or 30 Shah Rukh Khans came and went. And so, foolishness. Kshanik, this life is... And here, anyway, here, you see, if you go to Telangana, what do they care about Shah Rukh Khan? They have their own movie stars, right? Telugu movie. They're, in Hyderabad, they understand Hindi. If you go out in the country, they don't even understand. They have their own movie stars. Some Telugu-speaking star. And if you say the name of the Telugu star in Bollywood, they never heard his name. All madness. So better to hear about Krishna. He saves so much trouble. So trouble of birth, death, old age and disease, even trouble of going through so many shastras and so many lifetimes doing karma and then jnana and then Vishnu is supreme and then finally you may chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
For that we need good association also, because these Sai people, they'll take this Sai everything. Sai Krishna, Sai Rama, Sai Ganesh, Sai Shah Rukh Khan, everything. They'll probably say Shah Rukh Khan is an incarnation of Sai Baba, and they're both Muslims, right? So I guess there's some connection. So Sai everything. So it's not Sai Krishna, it's Hare Krishna. You have to get the right association. Otherwise, everything is finished. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very fortunate. Actually, that's why I'm saying the Vaishnava Acharyas, they won't usually teach their disciples all these things. They may not discuss much. But these points, just like this point, the Shastra apparently showing Shiva to be supreme. But then if we go deeper, then we'll find these points are discussed by the Vaishnava Acharyas. Because these questions will come. This is so, devotees should be competent to answer them. But it may be that they may not understand also, because basically, those who are, adherents of various gods, their nashta buddhi, hrita jnana, that intelligence is spoiled, so it's very difficult for them to understand the actual fact of the matter. Therefore, Lord Krishna uses very strong language, hrita jnana, namang duskritin or murha, they're all fools and rascals. So in preaching, if we want to uplift others, then it's necessary to use these terms. In modern society, there's such a society of cheaters and rascals that they have this convention that you should speak very politely. This is for rascals. Only rascals speak politely. Those who are actually the well-wishers of others, they use very nasty language to wake up the fools and rascals. All these fools and rascals, they very politely and nicely smile at each other and encourage each other to go to hell. We'll all be very nice and we won't remember Krishna and, oh, you're worshipping Sai Baba. Oh, very nice, very good. We won't disturb you. Rascal! Why are you envious of Krishna? We should tell them, you are simply envious rascals. He's a demon. He's a worse demon than Pondraka. The same category. Simply demons. Why should we be polite? Be polite means that we are ratifying their rascaldom. We're joining them. Oh, Saiba, okay, very nice. It's not nice. It's not at all nice. It is simply leading people to hell. Big demon, a flute. He's this nasty, ugly person. There's pictures of him holding a flute as if he's Krishna. What a rascal. We should tell him. He's a rascal. Let people be shocked. Oh, you're not supposed to say that. Yes, we are supposed to say that. You have made this convention simply for cheating, that you will be... Sadhus are very polite. Why polite? They should speak the truth. Your politeness is simply a cover so that you can pretend to be very good while you're envious of Krishna. So speaking plainly, that is actually the quality of a sadhu, not that this cheating, just, oh, we won't criticize. You should criticize. If you're a sadhu, you have to speak the truth. Not criticizing means that you're joining the rascal. But there's this idea, oh, see, just everything's very nice. It's all good. Everything's one. We shouldn't upset anyone. Damn it, you have to upset them. If you don't upset them, then they'll just go on with their foolishness. Then how are you going to benefit them? If someone's got a boil and you think, oh, we won't tell the doctor. The doctor will cut him and that will hurt. He has to cut him. Otherwise, how will the boil be cured? They have cancer, so an operation is needed. So the operation hurts. Yeah, it hurts, but if it's required to cure the cancer, then it has to be done. The people are sick. Everyone in this material world is simply sick. Foolish. They're simply defeated as long as they do not inquire into Atma Tattva, into the goal of life, or the nature of the self, is simply defeated. For all their smiling and niceness, and simply they're defeated. So tell them, simply rascals, shock them. Oh, what does he say? Why? Because you're... Why are you saying you're a rascal? Because you're a rascal. And this is why, because you accept that which is not true to be true. You see all these big rascals, there's so many, they all talk love, peace, compassion, kindness, mercy, and no Krishna. Just cheating, just love. Yeah, love, what a love, you embrace someone and smile at them. And tell them, if you don't worship Krishna, then punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jathare shayanam. All this idea, love, love. You're going to get born again and die again and again, until you surrender to Krishna. This is the fact. This is love. This is compassion. But just a vague love. Oh, it is love. No meaning. Love means you smile at them. Oh, yeah, we won't upset you by telling you that you're eating meat, you're smoking cigarettes, and you're going to hell. But we love you, so we won't upset, we won't criticize. This is not love. This is simply posing as being good when you're not good. And the whole mundane society is doing that. And we're joining them if we're like that. So, fortunately, we are followers of Srila Prabhupada, who didn't care for these mundane conventions. He simply told people. He spoke the truth. We are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada for speaking this. Otherwise, so many people are saying so many things, simply entangling others in birth and death. And Srila Prabhupada very kindly gave us that knowledge by which, even though we, and when I say we, I especially mean us from the Western countries, who are so very, very far away from anything, even any slight idea of Krishna. So we had practically no hope of making any progress in spiritual life whatsoever. And Prabhupada, by his great mercy, gave us that knowledge of Krishna, not simply sentiment. Krishna is very beautiful. Krishna is very pleasing. Krishna is very kind. That's true. But we have to understand who Krishna is. Krishna is not a product of material nature. Krishna is not an object of our sentimental, foolish ideas of what we think God should be. He is who He is. And we have to adjust ourselves to Him. Everyone is trying to adjust God to themselves. That's why we have Shaivas and Sai Baba followers and Christian. Everyone is trying to adjust Him to their own petty, foolish, selfish motives. And the Vaishnava is one who simply submits himself to Krishna, to perform Krishna's will. That is a Vaishnava. So Prabhupada, he brought us out of that, brought us not only out of our extremely degraded condition, but out of all levels of even relatively elevated positions. Prabhupada brought us, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, brought us past all of those points, past even the point of Lord Brahma, even the point of the Atmaramas, and brought us all the way, gave us the opportunity. Here's the opportunity. Aho bhagyam, nanga, gopa rajokasam, yan mitram paramanandam, purna brahma sanatanam. How fortunate is Nanda Maharaj and the residents of Vrindavan that that most elevated person, the supreme personality, the person of the supreme complete truth, he is the friend of Nanda Maharaj and Prabhupada. You can go there too. If we accept Krishna as he is, if we accept Bhagavad Gita as it is, it's not so easy to accept. There are so many interpretations of Bhagavad Gita. People prefer the interpretation. Who wants to take Bhagavad Gita as it is? And then we have to give up all our mundane conventions. If we actually accept what Krishna says, if we don't edit what Krishna says, namam duskushino murha prabhadyante naradhamaha maya parita jnana asuram bhavimashtra. Yes, they're demons. They're not surrendering to Krishna. Demons. Dr. Patel on the beach protested to Srila Prabhupada, why are you calling them demons? Because they're demons, Prabhupada said. Well, can't you call them anything else? No! They're demons, they should be called demons. There's nothing else to call them. You can euphemize or use some kind of, just like they call, what is that they call abortion? They call it pregnancy termination. Sounds very nice, doesn't it? Pregnancy to abortion. Nasty. Sinful. Pregnancy termination. So, demon you can call, you could say a person who's not properly situated or something, make it sound a little nice. But actually they're demons. They should be called that. You should understand, they're not good people. One who does not surrender to Krishna, they're rascals, fools. This is Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said this. Namam Dushkushina Mudha. Prabhupada said this is a very important verse. So practically speaking, in this material world, for our own practice of Krishna consciousness, and for protecting ourselves from Maya and for preaching Krishna consciousness, these verses, Namam Dushkushina Mudha. Krishna says, those who do not surrender to me, They are simply rascals, fools, lowest among mankind. Even if they think they're very intelligent, PhD, Nobel Prize winner, they're simply rascals and demons. So this Krishna says. So these verses, they're more important for us than a whole bhagyam, nanda, gopa, vrajokas, praising the vrajvasis. That's all right, that will come. But first understand this point. First understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. First try to understand Janmadhyasa Yaton Vyadhitaratas Chati Svabhinya Swarat. Who is Krishna? Preach this, and then by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we may get the entrance into that very secret realm which is beyond that of Lord Brahma, beyond that of Lord Shiva. It's not an easy thing, it's not a cheap thing. It's not that simply by being so-called good people of this world that we can get the mercy of Krishna. So-called goodness of this world is another obstruction on the path of attaining Krishna. If we're thinking, I should be good, people should think I'm good. That is also an obstruction on the path of attaining Krishna. To want to appear good in the eyes of mundane people, what they think is good. Just like they think it's good to kill the cows. And then, or they think, just like in Tamil Nadu, they're giving to the school children free eggs, very good. And they can get protein and become big and strong and work in the factories. And so I think, very good. Giving eggs to, and slaughterhouses, we're increasing the economy, it's all very good. Everything very good. Everything they think is very good is all foolishness. Parabhavas tava dabhodajata yavamna jignyasita atma tattvam. Their so-called goodness is simply causing them to be entangled more and more in material life. So don't be misled by the so-called goodness of this material world. Don't think that to be recognized as a good person by people who do not know what is good, that is anything laudable. Is there any question about this? Yes, please. Hare Krishna. I didn't see you for a long time. I'm happy to see you. Thank you for coming. Hare Krishna. Great horned one. Servant of the one with a big horn. It's a name for Matsya Avatar. Is it? Matsya Avatar has a great horn by which Noah's Ark is attached to him, strung onto his horn. Yeah. Save the Vedas. Come on, give us some spiritual knowledge.
I need your mercy. The question is, practically we are seeing that day by day people's life is becoming very horrible.
Practically speaking, day by day, people's life is becoming very horrible. I disagree. I beg to differ. I don't think it's becoming horrible. It's already horrible. Simply becoming worse. So,
even our devotees I'm seeing.
Yeah, even our devotees. I'm repeating the question in the mic so that others can hear it.
So, everyone is taking such big targets of economic development that there is...
Even our devotees are taking big targets of economic development. And they become entangled. So that's why I'm preaching. Don't be misled by this society. At least I'm saying that. Don't try to be a big success. Yavan artha prayojanam. Just get money what you need. But the modern society just... you see these auto rickshaw drivers, they're driving all day, and they'll go home to some chopa patti or something, and They're working so hard, breathing in all these fumes, and they'll squeeze you and cheat you. Just trying to get enough money to live. It's a horrible life. And then there's the so-called successes. The so-called success means they have to study until they're like 28 or something, and then they get a good job, which means they work about 70 hours a week in total stress. And then they get a heart attack at the age of 30 or so. So don't be misled by this demoniac society. Go to the land. Aranyam tena gantavyam. Prabhupada quoted that in a different context. Go to the forest. Live simply. Don't be victimized by this nasty demoniac society. What a nasty society. See, they're giving you all this food which is genetically modified, killing you, these seeds which don't sprout. You sprout them and then you have to buy them again each year. Simply, they're making, they say, you see, you'll get more profit. It's simply, clearly to exploit others, that's all. And 2,000 farmers a day in India committing suicide, no one gives a damn. It wasn't an election issue. At the last election, it didn't come up. Let them all suicide. Such a, and you see, that's what I say, politicians, all simply rascals. Simply interested in exploitation, that's all. So, Prabhupada was the greatest revolutionary. He didn't say, go and burn the parliament or blow it up. No. Go to the land, grow your own food. The best revolution. Grow your own food and chant Hare Krishna. Cut out of this demoniac society. Don't be bewildered by it. That I have to get more money, be a success. I completely agree with you. So many of our devotees, I don't think they ever read Prabhupada's books, because otherwise, actually, what I see many of our devotees, especially in India or Indians around the world. They're more materialistic than even the average person. They're more interested in making money and being a so-called success. No. What happened? They never even read one page of Prabhupada's books. I mean, one page of Prabhupada's books is enough to just completely smash all your material ideas if you have any sensitivity. Unless you're a complete idiot, unfortunately most people are. But if your intelligence is even slightly awakened, then Prabhupada, he'll smash you on the head and say you're a complete... This is why Prabhupada says you're a fool and a rascal, because everyone is and they need a good bashing to understand it. No one talks like that. And they say, why is he talking like that? Because it's true. Oh, yeah. Actually, it's true. What do I do? Chant Hare Krishna! Come out of this materialistic life, but somehow or other it's just, you know, it's something like be a pious Hindu and earn lots of, it's like you want the best of both worlds, but one thing that you never understood, that there is no best in this world, it's all bad. What we call the best of this world, there is no best. It's all simply entanglement. So yes, you're right, I agree with you. The devotees, they should, don't be materialistic. Be responsible. You have a family, you have to look after your family. But this idea, I'm going to be a big this and a big that. How big do you want to be? You can go up to the position of Lord Brahma if you want, but that's, simply by being Brahma, you won't get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Dinare adhik daya kare bhagavan, kulin pandit dhani bara abhiman. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Bhagavan's mercy is especially for the dina, the dindayal. Dinare adhik daya. He's merciful to everyone, but especially to the so-called fallen people of this world, because the kulin, nowadays we don't have kulin. The kulin, they're all shudras, software engineers, the brahmanas. Kulin, pandits, we don't have pandits either. Pandit means shastra gyani. Pandit nowadays means you have some certificate, MSc, something like this, means qualified Shudra. You're now set up for a life of slavery, and they bluff you that you're a success, or actually you're just a slightly more privileged slave, that's all. And then, and dhani. So the wealthy. So these, kulin, pandit, dhani, bara, abhiman, big, puffed up. Oh, I'm so big. And then you can't get Krishna's mercy. So don't be a big man of this world. Big man means big fool, that's all. Just try to be a humble servant, Krishna. That's better. Then we'll get Krishna's mercy. Anything else? Hare Krishna.